The views and opinions expressed by podcast guests are their own and do not necessarily represent the official position of the Arkansas Department of Health.
Hello, and welcome to the ADH in the Community podcast, where it's all about bringing better health to every doorstep in Arkansas. I'm Dr. Austin Porter.
And I'm Dr. Christy Caldwell. Our goal is to expand public knowledge of the important programs and resources offered by the Arkansas Department of Health to communities across our state.
Every episode is a new journey into the heart of our communities where we encourage conversations and take action for a healthier tomorrow.
So whether you're at home, at work, or on the go, join us as we pave the way to public health together.
Hey, welcome everyone. My name is Dr. Austin Porter, and in today's episode, we will be talking to Joe Martin to discuss the upcoming solar eclipse that's going to be occurring in April 8th. You know, when I was thinking about this episode, it made me kind of reflect on my own childhood and when there was a partial eclipse here in Arkansas. And I remember we used to poke holes in shoeboxes and look at it on a piece of paper on the ground. And, you know, it's like now, you know, we have these eclipse classes and, you know, we didn't have those back then. Now make it sound like this is just so old. But I mean, this was like in the 90s, right? I'm really excited about this and being able to share this moment with my family and my loved ones. So in today's episode, we'll be sharing some tips so that you can enjoy the eclipse as well. Today, we're going to be talking to Joe Martin with the Arkansas Department of Health about the solar eclipse that's going to be coming up. Mr. Martin, can you please give the audience a brief introduction of yourself, please?
Well, thank you, Austin. So, yeah, I'm Joe Martin. I'm with the Office of Preparedness and Emergency Response Systems for the Arkansas Department of Health. And our office basically includes public health preparedness, our trauma system, stroke STEMI system, and our emergency medical services for the state.
So I know you have been extremely busy over the past few months, if not longer than that, preparing for the solar eclipse that's coming up next month. Can you provide our listeners with an explanation of what a solar eclipse is?
Yeah. So, you know, actually planning for this started about 2 years ago when the Department of Parks and Tourism called all of the state agencies together and said, hey, guess what? Something's happening. And, you know, we all went over there and was actually having this meeting, and they were telling us what happened, and they were saying, hey, states that this occurred in 2017, like in Oregon and Wyoming and stuff, it was like they had a big impact on their state, and we need to start preparing for this. And we're all sitting around the table looking at the person from Parks and Tourism going, it's an eclipse. What do you want us to prepare for? It's going to get dark for 30 seconds or something like that, and it's gone. Bye-bye. Wow. And so we were just like dumbfounded a little bit that Parks and Tourism is bringing every state agency into this meeting. We're like, what is going on? And then we all came out of that meeting going, this is actually a much bigger event than just 30 seconds of darkness, if that, because we're looking upwards of 4 minutes. And so, you know, this was 2 years ago, and then the Arkansas Division of Emergency Management brought us all in about a year ago. And so we really, every state agency really started to plan for this event about a year ago, and we had monthly meetings, and we brought it in and actually created an internal work group. And basically said, you know, with hospitals and EMS services, and said, okay, we need to start planning for this event also, because it's not just a 30-second event. It's upwards of 4 minutes. And when it, you know, in the astronomical terms, that's a long time. And a lot of people want to see that. And when we talk about the path of an eclipse or whatever, what's the big thing about this particular eclipse versus some of the others that we've had in the past is that this is going to have full totality. So that basically means the moon is going to be in completely blocking the sun. So, you know, during the day, which this event's going to occur sometime around the 1 o'clock area, 1:30 area on April 8th, what happens is that moon is going to get come right in front of the sun and completely block it. So it's going to look like it's dusk. And in some areas, you know, a lot, you know, even some darker areas than that. And the closer you get to the actual path of totality, there's an actual line that crosses across our state that has the longest time periods of where it's going to be much darker. And so that's where we anticipate a lot of people are going to want to go. They want to be in that darkness for as long as possible. You know, not just the, you know, the 10 or 15 or 30 seconds that we were all like, oh, wow. 4 minutes. They want to see 4 minutes of this darkness of watching the moon actually go across the sun.
So when you're talking about this path of totality, like where is the best place in the state to see this totality of 4 minutes that you're talking about?
So there are several places in the state that's going to have 4+ minutes of totality, but some of your best areas is like Clinton, Arkansas, Russellville, Dardanelle, you know, it's kind of Morrilton in those particular areas. We're going to also get to experience it here in Little Rock, but our path is only about 2 minutes and 20 seconds of darkness in Little Rock versus 4 minutes and 15 seconds in like Clinton. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's how we're anticipating. A lot of people are, you know, going to come to Little Rock and enjoy the festivals and enjoy the event that's occurring. What's actually going to happen, though, is you're going to see a lot more people going towards Russellville and Clinton because they want to see this for 2 more minutes than what you would see here in Little Rock.
I see. So those areas can expect a lot of people, like a huge influx of people. Can you talk about just the travel precautions that people should take if they're going to be traveling to and from those areas?
Yeah. So, you know, this is something that we actually learned about from Wyoming 2+ years ago when we started this event, when Parks and Tourism's brought us all together. We actually invited some of the emergency managers that actually work this event in Wyoming. And so Wyoming was unique because they were kind of like us. They only realized that there was a significant eclipse coming in Wyoming maybe a month or two before the actual event occurred. Mm. And so they only had a very short time to plan for a statewide event because they were just like thinking the same thing we are. It's like, no one's going to come to Wyoming to watch darkness here for, you know, a couple seconds and then go out. Well, luckily for them, NASA actually asked them. They were the ones that actually asked them, what is your plans for this event? And we're like, we have none because it's nothing. And NASA was like, well, it is something because, you know, there's going to be, you know, a lot of people come into your state to view this. And Wyoming was like, we don't believe it, but we'll start looking at it. Well, what happened was, that's exactly what occurred. Mm. There were people from all over the country that came to Wyoming. Now, luckily, they had about 2 months to try and plan and prepare, and they did their best in that time frame. Luckily, NASA gave them a little bit of heads up on that. And so they did a pretty good job considering the situation they were in. But what happened was, just traffic congestion-wise, is that it took Wyoming about 72 hours, 3 days, to completely clear their interstates to get back to a normal operation. And that's because during the event, you know, there were so many people coming into Wyoming, their infrastructure is even smaller than ours here in Arkansas. We're actually a larger state than they are. We're still rural like they are, but we're a larger state with more infrastructure. But what happened with them is people stopped on the interstate for this 2 and 3 minutes worth of totality that they experienced back then, and just completely stopped on the interstate. Some pulled over, some just stopped in the lane.
Right in the middle of the road.
And just right in the middle of the road. Wow. Got out to view this totality. So interstates were completely stopped. And then what you experienced after that was everybody trying to get back in their car to go back. Well, cars don't start. People ran out of fuel, you know, accidents happened. And so now you've got to get tow trucks in to help out. And it just completely had just snarled traffic on their interstates. And they said it took them 3 days, 72 hours to get their normal operations for their interstate. Now, we are anticipating anywhere from, you know, 700,000 people to upwards of 1.5 million people. Wow. Coming into our state. And that is significant for us because Arkansas is only a 3.1 million population state. Mm-hmm. So we're potentially looking at adding half of our state in a, you know, a few days time frame. That is very hard on infrastructure for a place that's built for 3.1, right? We're not built for 4 and 5 million people. We're built for 3 million. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it gets to the point where it's going to, you know, cause traffic congestion across every interstate. RDOT has actually done some really good work about getting consultants to come in and, you know, kind of guess what are our interstates and our and some of our major arteries across the state going to look like. And that map is pretty significant. Even in South Arkansas, where there is no totality, you'll still be able to view it in South Arkansas, but it's going to be minimal, right? And so even from there, think about the major arteries that come up north from Florida and Louisiana and some in Mississippi, right? That's how they come into Arkansas. Well, all those people in South Arkansas that's going to drive up, guess where they want to go? They want to go north. So they're going to have to come up those arteries that aren't even interstates, right? Those are highways at a much lower speed, yep. Not as big infrastructure. They're trying to get into Little Rock just so that they can head up north towards like Russellville and places like that. And so it doesn't matter where you are in the state. Our traffic is going to be pretty impacted, we believe.
Wow. So you're talking about traffic and people stopping in the middle of the road. Of course, my mind is going to areas where people may have a medical emergency. What precautions are being put in place that any event that someone is experiencing a medical emergency, that they could still get the care and resources that they need?
Right. And this is something that was very forefront on our minds when we started understanding the impact that Arkansas might experience, right? Is the delays in EMS care, you know, fire, rescue, any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, one, if traffic is congesting the interstates and all the highways and the roads that we have, well, that's going to be difficult to get around because people are going to be stopped on the shoulder and stuff. So I know that our county emergency managers have really attempted to really put a lot of plans into making sure that they can figure out how to move their emergency services around the county. A lot of counties are doing large festivals. Mm-hmm. And so when you do these large festivals, right, you're going to have an influx of more population come in there. There's going to be a lot of partying. There's going to be a lot of celebration at these festivals. And so that also typically means you're going to have an increased rescue and emergency situation that you're going to have to normally deal with. Because not only do you have normal operations, you're doubling your population in some potential situations, right? Mm-hmm. So now you're dealing with your original population on their normal emergencies, and now you got to deal with everybody else's potential emergencies. Obviously, if you're on top of the mountain, there's probably going to be some, you know, drinking and celebration that's going to occur. Well, when that happens, sometimes you fall, right? Sometimes you hurt yourself. Sometimes things happen. Well, now we have to get services up there to get you to the hospital. With so much congestion, that's going to be difficult. There's going to potentially be delays across the state for emergency services to get to you. Now, like I said earlier, county OEMs, we've known this. We've known this. We've been trying to prepare for this for a couple years now, and they have really worked well in trying to identify the roads that are kind of their major arteries in their cities and their counties so that if a ambulance or law enforcement or fire needs to make it to a particular area, they are trying to close down certain sides of the roads or make sure certain shoulders are clear, stuff like that, so that their EMS and their county, you know, in their normal operations, they know what pathway to take. And then also their law enforcement, you know, both county, you know, sheriff's departments and the city police departments are all involved in that planning to make sure they know if an ambulance is needed somewhere. If they get stuck, the police know how to help them get to where they need to go. And our county OEMs have done extremely good at trying to make that happen. There's obviously, we won't know until the situation occurs, mm-hmm. right? But we think that, you know, as much planning that our state has done for this, we really are, hopeful. And, that our planning that we've done as good as we can to prepare for this. And we believe we've done a good job at it.
Yeah, I mean, y'all have thought of everything. But I want to shift gears and talk a little bit about people who are planning to celebrate this, going to the festivals, and they're going to be outside, and they're going to want to watch the eclipse happen in real time, right? So what are some precautions that people should take if they're going to be outside and they're going to be looking up to see this eclipse?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, obviously we want everybody that's coming here to have a good time. I mean, that's the biggest thing, you know. In emergency management, in our line of work, we like to think of the worst case scenarios, right? That's kind of what we're trying to do. But we never hope that those actually occur. So we're really hoping that people come in. There's not going to be many issues. People are going to enjoy the state and the things that we have to offer in the state. And they'll be able to enjoy the festivals that are occurring. And then when the moment actually occurs, they're going to get to watch this event that won't happen again for another, I believe, 25 years or so. And so, you know, that's our hope, is we want them to come in and enjoy the state. Now, obviously, there are always precautions that people need to take. You know, if you're in large groups, right, and you're in large gatherings, it doesn't matter whether, you know, it's an eclipse or you're at a state fair, right? You always have to maintain your situational awareness. What is happening around you? You know, did someone have a car accident that is very close to people? You know, you've got to make sure that you know what's going on around you just for your own personal safety. There's nothing that changes in that. That's something we should practice every day. Right? So nothing changes there. The biggest thing for us is when it comes to safety is the eclipse offers one thing that, you know, you don't normally have to worry about. We don't normally look into the sun to hurt our eyes because we know it's there and it's bright outside. We don't have to look at the sun.
Yeah.
But this here is making us want to look at the sun, and that is dangerous for our eyes because it can damage our eyes if we're looking at this. So there are safety glasses, you know, eclipse glasses out there that you can get across the state. They have to be basically NASA certified. NASA certifies and says that these particular kinds of glasses are the ones that you need. Okay, and those are the ones that we want people to get. And I can tell you is that you can go to Parks and Tourism's website. There is a solar eclipse page that they have created that actually puts on there and says where you can buy glasses at. Obviously, you can buy them at Amazon, Walmart, places like that. But I do know that also a lot of our county libraries, especially within that path of totality, they are actually giving away free eclipse glasses. Mm. Now, you know, a lot of them, you know, require a library card. So, you know, sign up for a library card and get you some eclipse glasses.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win for everybody. And so those are what you really want. You got to have those glasses on so that when you're looking up, you don't damage your eyes.
Is there like a special marking or print that people should look at or look for to know whether or not they're certified glasses or not?
Yeah, and so one thing that I recommend to people is one, go to like your library. Those are certified. They have been purchased under, you know, that NASA regulation, that certification that NASA says they're there. You know, we always have to be careful about scams, right? You never know what people can print up a glasses anywhere and put it on anywhere to sell. But if you go to Parks and Tourism's website, they have those links there. If you need some, all you got to do is follow that link and it'll tell you which ones to go and purchase and where to buy them from. And that's the safest way to do it. But there is I believe it's an ISA number, and it's a big old long number because, you know, we're talking about NASA here.
Yep,
and so it's a big old long number that's on there, but a lot of them will be NASA certified. And that's usually what you're looking for, is that there is something on those glasses or in the manufacturing of those that has that number on there.
Gotcha. So, you know, are there any specific groups such as children, senior citizens, people with pre-existing health conditions, people who wear glasses? I mean, you and I, we both wear glasses. Can we put those glasses on top of our prescription glasses, or is there any special precautions that those groups need to take when observing the eclipse?
Well, you know, especially if you have young children, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times young children don't want to wear the glasses, or you're putting something on their face and they want to take them off. So that is one thing that we really want you to be careful with, is that, you know, if you have young children out there that are not used to wearing glasses and stuff like that, they're going to want to take them off when you're trying to tell them to look up at the sun. And so just be real careful there, because, you know, we don't want to damage our kids' eyes. That's the biggest thing. We don't want that to happen. One, we want them to enjoy this just like anybody else. But at such a young age, if they hurt themselves, guess what? Now they're not going to want to deal with it in 25 years when they're adults. They're too scared of this. And so we don't want that to happen for them. We want them to enjoy it and get interested in astronomy. You know, this is a science based event that's occurring here. Mm-hmm. This is a great way to promote that to our kids so that they're interested in science. And as they grow up and get into school, this is something that they're really involved in and they're interested in. But if one bad you know, example, one bad experience that they have can ruin that for, you know, their childhood. And we don't want that to occur. So we mm-hmm. just make sure, keep the glasses on our kids and everything. But when it comes to, like, me and you, Austin's wearing our glasses, and unfortunately we're used to wearing them, you know, mm-hmm. the thing is, we're just, you know, we're just going to put them over our eyeglasses. Now, they do make some out there that are kind of oversized that'll really fit on there, but, you know, for the most part, you can just put them over your glasses. I mean, they're still going to work the same way. They're going to block those the rays that could damage your eyes. They're going to block that either way. So that'll work. And senior citizens, it's the same thing for them. Is just, you know, if some of our particular population, our elderly population that may have some mental health issues at that point in their life, you know, they may not think about or want to wear the glasses, right? So it's the exact same thing. Just mm-hmm. keep it on, because we don't want to add to any potential issues they're already working with.
Gotcha. So you recommend putting keeping the glasses on for the entire duration of the eclipse, even when we have that moment of total darkness, right? Or total mm-hmm. or near total darkness, we should keep the glasses on for the entire duration of the eclipse. Why? I mean, if it's dark outside, why do we need to wear the glasses?
So just because it's dark doesn't mean those rays are still not coming through and damaging our eyes. You know, think of it this way. We don't go outside and just stare at the sun, right? Because as soon as you start doing that, what happens? Your eyes start hurting. If you do it too long, you will burn your eyes and you will cause other issues that you will have to go to a hospital or a doctor about. Nothing changes. The only difference is that it's just going to be dark and we're going to get to experience that. But just because it's dark doesn't mean that those UV rays and everything else that we normally deal with, those are still coming through. Mm-hmm. The moon ain't blocking those. They're just blocking the visibility. So that's the reason why we always want to keep those glasses on until the event has passed and you've stopped looking at the sun.
Gotcha. So talk to me. Tell me how you're planning to celebrate the eclipse. What is it that you're going to be doing?
Well, I'll be working. I'll be working. That is, yeah, that's the one thing about this job is I don't get to go outside and look at this event for too much long, because I will actually be working at the Division of Emergency Management up in North Little Rock. I'll be working in the Emergency Operations Center up there, representing the health department and public health for the state. And so during that event, you know, we will be working, you know, any potential issues that is occurring across the state. You know, if ambulances have a hard time getting somewhere or something actually happens, right? Maybe there was an incident that happened that more ambulances need to get there. You know, those are the kind of things that we will help with while we're sitting there. I can't say that I might not go outside and pop out there for a couple minutes to experience it, because I won't get to see it again for 25 years. So I'm sure I'll get a chance to walk outside for a few minutes a couple minutes to watch this thing, but I'll be right back in to help work any situations that'll be happening that day.
Excellent. Absolutely. No, it sounds like you have this thing covered, and we, the citizens of Arkansas, the community of Arkansas, we certainly appreciate all the work that you and your team have been doing over the past several months, years, to get us prepared for this moment next month. And so, just again for the listeners, what's the date and time of the eclipse?
So it is April 8th, Monday, April 8th. Now, I will say that's the actual, you know, date of the eclipse, but festivals and people coming into our state will be occurring before and after that event. So that we're looking at this event is almost a 4 to 5 day event. It's not just a one day. You know, we anticipate, based off of what we see with people coming in to hotel rooms and through state parks, is a lot of people are going to start trying to trickle into our state around Thursday and Friday. You know, a lot of our festivals start on either that Friday or Saturday. And then the event occurs on Monday. And that event is going to occur, I believe, anywhere from around 12:30, 12:45 through around 2 o'clock or 2:30 or so, something like that, depending on where you are in the state. Obviously, if you live in Texarkana, you're going to see this before anybody that lives in or is visiting in Russellville. So there is a time, you know, difference there depending on where you are in the state where you want to view this this event.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I think that wraps it up for this episode of ADH in the Community. Thank you so much for listening.
That's a wrap on today's episode of the ADH in the Community podcast. Thank you for sharing your time with us and for being a part of our community's health journey.
As we strive to make a healthier Arkansas together, your feedback is valuable. Before you log off, we'd love to hear your thoughts and suggestions.
Please take a moment to complete our survey. Every step we take together makes a path for a healthier Arkansas.
Stay connected, stay informed, and let's keep the conversation going. Visit www.healthy.arkansas.gov for more information and join us next time as we continue to bring health home.
Remember, public health happens where we live, learn, work, and play. Take care and stay well.